Welcome back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall.
With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner, combined weight of 666 pounds, I'm your boy Xander Hobbs. This is
Bobby.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
And once again, we're bringing another edition of the
Wrestleocalypse.
And recording to you from the cafeteria at Midtown High.
We are getting right into this like a fine, fine plate of, I don't know, Salisbury steak, chalupa, whatever you may or may not have got at your cafeteria. We are eliminating the chamber right now. Did you wake up at 5 a.m. to watch this? Go.
I woke up at 4 a.m., but not to watch it, but to get to work.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, but I did catch it at work. It was very good for a pay-per-view that was predictable. Like, and this is what we've always said. Predictability is okay as long as you deliver on it. So it wasn't what a lot of people are trying to rip it apart for. You know, what do you expect? This is the last leg. This is the last stop to WrestleMania. Like, nothing crazy is going to happen. They're saving that shit for the event.
Yeah, I love how you brought that up, because it's like, after everything that's happened since Royal Rumble, they needed to have something a little bit predictable. There wasn't going to be a big, like, be happy with the fact that they could have, like, they could have shat on Tiffany Stratton.
Right.
But they didn't, like, so even though the booking was predictable, in the matches, they did a lot of really good things, I thought.
I thought so too, especially the women's match. The women's match started off a little clunky, but it really delivered once everybody was in the chamber, like out of the pods, I should say. I mean, honorable mention has to be Tiffany Stratton, because once again, it is Tiffy time. And she's just really good, really quick. Like, her athleticism, her strength, her promo skills, she's got star written all over her. And like, I just love to see it. Like, she was developed well in NXT. It's just translating into the main roster, and it's awesome.
We've talked about it. Becky Lynch put her over by going down to NXT and wrestling her.
Yeah.
In a great no holds barred, or was it an ODQ match?
Yeah, something like that.
But it was really good. And I agree with that. I thought she was great. I thought her entrance was really good. Crowd super behind her, which obviously great thing to see. And I agree with you. I thought the women's, whoever was involved in setting that match up and pacing them the way they did, I thought that was the best match of the night.
I thought so too.
And like you said, like, they didn't have to give Raquel Rodriguez all of that shine, but they did. And it didn't, she was never going to win. We knew she wasn't going to win, but still, like, everybody got some spots in. Everybody took some damage and sold for others.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a really great match. And there, we're going to talk about a little bit of the men's, but it was like a clean elimination chamber match. There wasn't like some shenanigans that go on.
No.
I think kind of like dropped the men's down a notch.
It did. And then just real quick, because I was discussing some of these rumblings online and things like that. And people are saying that they miss an opportunity with not having Liv Morgan taking the win, since she has history with Rhea Ripley and she was the last person to pin Rhea Ripley. So they could have tied that into a bow. But like, I think they think that they tried the Liv Morgan experiment with her having the title and it didn't quite work out, which isn't her fault. But I just think that I wouldn't have minded to see that, but they're going the route of Becky and Rhea Ripley, because that's the money that's the one with the money on it, because it's Becky and Rhea Ripley. I don't think they've ever met, but I just thought that was an interesting point to bring up, because the history does like all fit together.
Yeah, but if you think that they are going to continue to develop the Liv Morgan revenge tour, it should finish with a title. Like, I could see it finishing with a match at SummerSlam.
Right. So
right. And like, and what I think is, with all the things that happen, there is no sure bet to be able to, though it may not, the man versus Rhea Ripley is a first night main event.
Right.
Like, it's good enough. Like, it will be good enough. So they're hedging all of their bets because they don't, there's still a lot of unknowns with the WrestleMania card we'll talk about, but I agree with that. I like the Liv Morgan revenge tour. It's kind of analogous to the whole finishing your story thing.
Yeah.
She's also over, huge reaction.
Way over. Yeah. And I think, you know, that you just said that, that could go to SummerSlam. So then you're saying that Rhea Ripley should beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania.
I think she has to beat Becky
Lynch. I think she has to too, because I mean, her title reign hasn't been that great. You know what I mean? She's fought, what she defended against, Zoe Stark, Zelina Vega, Ivy Nile.
Her best work has been with Judgment Day.
Right.
So she hasn't really had any standout matches.
That's what I mean.
WrestleMania match with Becky Lynch where she goes over,
it's going to solidify her title reign. And like,
And then she can face Liv Morgan. And then after that, Charlotte will come back and be able to beat her and take the title back.
Perfect. That it all works out in the end.
But I agree with you. Great women's Elimination Chamber match. Also honorable mention. I liked the Kabuki Warriors versus, I call them the family, but I guess what's Candice LeRae and India Hart. Well, they're not the
pre-show. Like, that was a good match.
And guess what? India Hartwell's an Australian. She got to go in front of the crowd. Yeah. She got a big pop. It was great. What else are you going to do? Like, the Kabuki Warriors, they can put a good match on with anybody.
Anyone. And India Hartwell and Candice LeRae are good. They just don't have a lot of opportunity. So, and what was funny is when I watched it, I thought that was on the card. I was like, oh, no, it's a pre-show match. I'm going to watch it anyway because I like all four of these wrestlers.
Yeah, I did not wake up at 5. So I was watching it. And I just I went forward 45 minutes and I saw them wrestling. I was like, cool, the first match. And then it was and we're back. I was like, wait, we're back. Oh, that's right. They're on the pre-show. But they definitely did a great job. I love the fact that this is a sign of a Triple H promotion. Like, hey, hometown crowd, give Indy Hartwell a little bit of a run. You know? Yeah, it's not a main event and she doesn't deserve it. But
no, not
she
quite.
Still gets an opportunity. Her family, friends, people could come and get the support. I love that.
But yeah, but we'd be remiss before we moved on if we didn't talk about the other hometown hero. The main hometown hero was Rhea Bloody Ripley.
Who's going to have to face the man. But before she faced the man, she had to face possibly, if you read articles, the current leader for most improved wrestler, Nia Jax. Is that true?
Not on my WrestleOcalypse notes.
Okay. I didn't think that either. But when I was reading some of these, the recaps, people were just like, Nia Jax is so much better. Da, da, da. She's like,
how?
I don't think so. I think she put on a good match with somebody who's big enough and powerful enough to kind of handle her in a way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I thought that was good. I don't believe that. I don't think Nia Jax needs to be jacked into main event.
No.
Status, but I think this was a good match. Rhea Ripley went over.
Yeah.
It looked like at one point, maybe one of her piercings got ripped out, which is gnarly.
Yeah, I just thought it was cool that she got that hometown pop and you could tell that she was stoked and she was trying to stay in character. But how are you not excited when there's 50,000 people all rooting for you? Nobody there was rooting for Nia Jax. That was CM Punk, Cena all over again in Chicago.
And she's 25, 26 years old?
Rhea
Ripley's super young. She is So it was awesome. It was great. There, the ending was never in question, especially when you saw that Becky Lynch won. Nobody really wants to see Becky Lynch and Nia Jax wrestle.
No.
So they'd tipped their hand, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Because Vince ain't booking anymore. So Rhea's going to get they're going to send the crowd home happy with the hometown person. So.
Hell yeah. And the crowd was great, I thought. Honestly.
Yeah, I always like hearing the crowd. And I just thought it's an open air stadium. So, you can't hear the crowd as much, but I know the crowd was hot because from being in one last year, you could tell, but it was just, I was just happy for all the people that were there. Cause there was a lot of young wrestlers that were featured in this premium live event. This was a huge stage. Anytime they go overseas, they do it big. So it's just cool that they get their time to shine. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. Probably definitely the best match of the night was the Women's Elimination Chamber. So
right.
Tip of the hat to them. Men's Elimination Chamber, also pretty predictable, but they swerved a little bit into some, I think leaned a little too much into some shenanigans.
Well, the thing with the brass knuckles with Logan Paul, like that's a thing, I guess. And they're going to keep that going with KO. And then like with, I didn't expect AJ Styles to come in and like just put the beat down on LA Knight. That came out of nowhere. That was a surprise. And so that looks like that'll be a program coming up, because they're going with, they're going to still go with KO and Logan Paul, because they left a big question mark on that. And then like, there's also two, they could do Logan Paul, Randy Orton, since Logan Paul came in and knocked out Randy Orton. So there's a lot of different ways they can go with it, I thought.
Yeah, there is. And I like, I don't know what the, I think there's lots of really good things going on. I don't think the way they've handled Randy Orton is one of them. I think like bringing him back and the same Royal Rumble and then have CM Punk come back was odd and not very well thought out. I think that doing this and having blatantly building like the whole thing, he was like Kevin Owens is headbutting the pod to intimidate Logan Paul. Like,
yeah,
that's obviously where they're going. And it makes sense, because like, I don't know, I really love Kevin Owens, but I mean, Randy Orton is the top of the food chain.
He is, but like the top is crowded right now. And he's,
I know. Well, listen, I understand it's crowded, but the way that they've handled Orton is poor. Like,
but
you know,
like, but just to play devil's advocate, where would they plug him in? Like the thing with Reigns is with Cody, you know, Logan Paul's with Kevin Owens. There's not really anywhere for him to go. Like
I understand. And that was because of how they've booked him since he came back.
Well, it was kind of hard too. I'm not making excuses, but like when you have CM Punk come back,
And then all of a sudden,
Rollins is there. So they're going to have a feud with Rollins, but then he gets injured. But then does that mean that Orton goes up against Rollins? Because Rollins, well, not anymore, because we got Drew McIntyre, but that because Orton's on SmackDown. So it's just.
He's odd. It's crazy. Randy fucking Orton is the odd man out.
He is. That you'd never thought, but. And now with
you shouldn't think somebody needs Triple H needs to be sending some angry emails like, hey, by the way, we got to do something better with. All right, guys, we got to be doing something better.
Well,
do you think he has like an emoji of shopping at the for his signature?
Well, Triple H has the book, so he can do it. So because Orton has to have a spot at Mania.
Yeah, 100%. But also Orton, we don't know behind the stage. Orton could be just like. He could be willing to play the game. And
I don't see Orton at this spot pushing for, or at this point pushing for a spot. I think wherever Triple H puts him, he's going to be fine with it, because I mean, we don't want another thing like with Charlotte back in the day, getting inserted into the Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch match and just ruining the whole thing. So it's like, we didn't like it then. We shouldn't like it now just because we like Orton. I'm not saying that's what we're doing, but I'm just saying like you can't just like plug him into something that's already going on. I feel he should have a feud of his own, and there's still time to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's just a weird piece of kind of, again, the men's match just wasn't as clean.
No,
it didn't make as much sense. Lashley spearing everybody through the pod doors looked like. They definitely brought some heat though too. Like,
no, they did. And it's just like I said, it was harder for me to get invested into that, because there was just such a clear cut winner on the men's one. I mean, there was a clear cut winner on the women's, but like I said, it could have been Bex. It could have been Liv. If they wanted to swerve the crowd, they could have done Liv Morgan, but it was always going to be Bex. I'm just saying like the men's was just straight up that it's gotta be McIntyre or bust. Just because of where it goes, because it's going to go to Rollins. So McIntyre and Rollins have the issue. And so it all has the storyline too, with McIntyre wanting Punk to be injured. He jumps into his spot. So I see where they're going with it. And it's going to be a good match with McIntyre and Rollins anyway. And this is a fresh coat of paint for McIntyre. and I think it's fine.
Yeah. I know. Like, again, it's not about the predictive, like the predictable ending of the match isn't the problem. It's more just like,
yeah, we want
the decisions within it that are questionable. And like, dude, they'll find something for Randy Orton.
No, I'm sure they will.
So, but other things, Judgment Day retains over the new Catch Republic.
Is that their name?
That's what they're calling them on the, that's apparently what their name is, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate, good tag team.
Yeah, and it was a good match, and a little bit of Dom interference. Crowd super hot against Dom. They've read their sheets. They got their notes. They understand how to act properly.
Right.
So Judgment Day continues to, you know, do their thing, which is fine. We talked about Kabuki Warriors. Grayson Waller effect, though. Big news. Are we excited about what Cody is cooking?
Yeah, I'm not, because I'm not excited to see The Rock in a match. But when are they going to do this? Like, are they going to do it before Mania, night one? Like, because we decided that it should just be Cody should just wrestle once.
Too big of a risk.
I mean, because what if something happens? The Rock's blown up and he tries to pick up Cody and Cody gets hurt. Like, come on. And then there goes your main event.
Night two main event done. Like done. The biggest night. Like, I think there's obviously probably some showmanship to this and all, whatever. But, and then what did you think about Seth Rollins' sunglasses? Are you getting a pair of those? Does your third eye often get, he's like, ah, the sun.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, they're cool. I don't think I could pull those off, though.
No, I think only Seth Rollins could.
Right.
But overall, like I said, questions remain, which is good. I don't know where they're going with the Cody Rock thing. Not super excited about it. I feel like, I mean, obviously, there's no way The Rock as a heel should never agree to face the hottest babyface superhero, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's got to be something about Sokoa. There's going to be some stipulation or whatever. So we'll see where that goes. But I agree, like, the risk of having Cody wrestle on the first night if he's going to be the main event, too high.
Bad idea. And I don't think Triple H is that obtuse to make a move like that.
No, he's hurt himself less 5 times he's wrestled.
Exactly.
Cody Rhodes hurt himself training.
He got hurt training. So you got to keep that guy fresh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and your savior, CM Punk, hurt himself in the Royal Rumble. Sorry.
That one was to be expected, though.
Wow.
Like, I'm not... Dude, who is surprised about that?
Did you see Seth Rollins, how he quoted his good friend, Dean Ambrose, or formerly known as Dean Ambrose? He basically said, like, yeah, what did you expect? What is it? What did he say? What guy I know said? He's like...
Hey, what did he say? Like,
oft injured and...
Weak body, weak mind, something like that. Yeah. I forget the whole thing on... Yeah, but it was legit, though.
Yeah, and again, it's like... It's to be expected. Like, don't put your eggs in that basket.
No, dude. Like, or if you are going to, don't have him wrestle. Like, have him earn it another way. Like, I just, the guys, like I said, I'm not really blaming Punk. Like, he's got a bump card. So, you know, this is what happens as you get sometimes, like Samoa Joe, same thing. You know, these guys, you can only bump for so long before, like, the wheels start falling off. And Punk's bump card might be, it's like a couple punches left.
Yeah, and you know, you could see the difference, right? You know who's got a full bump card? Sting. And he just had his last Dynamite. He's not wrestling again until Revolution.
Right.
His last match. They're like, you're done. Because we wanted to give you 5 weeks to get healthy.
Exactly.
For your last match. Because we understand, like, you're not Daniel Garcia who we're going to throw out there 3 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like...
You can.
So we'll see what happens. But overall, Elimination Chamber was strong. WrestleMania, again, like I said, this build seems better than the last 2 years, certainly, the way they're putting things together. And, you know, we got a few more weeks to figure out where everything goes, but definitely excited about it. It's interesting. I feel like AEW has picked up a little bit of steam. You feel like there's too much ancillary things going on to really make it compelling. I guess Dynamite had some good ratings, but overall, I think, you know, BCC versus FTR should get ratings, period.
Yeah, if that's you're, like, a great way to open up the show.
Yeah, and I really love, like we said last week, I really love how putting Mox into this tag team, Claudio's not, he's never been good on the mic, and Moxley's kind of leaned into it. I like his promos right now. They're the very, like, the hard, straight to the camera. He does his whole, he, like, does his thing, and he does this whole shit. But I like it, because he also talks about, like, Claudio's history, training, like, all that shit. So I like that. And FTR is dope as shit. Like, let's go, right? Let's go.
Exactly.
And it was a great match, and they're going to wrestle at Revolution, so. And, like, it seems properly. I feel by Revolution, maybe we're going to have some crazy stipulation match.
I mean, lots of these matches don't have any stipulations, which I'm surprised about, except for, like, the three-way, and then the EVPs are Sting and Darby just for the titles, but I see shenanigans coming up against that. There's mm-hmm. got to be shenanigans. I just love it. Like, I like when they wrestle. I like how Matt's, like, very – he's, like, the diplomatic one, or Matthew, I should say, is the
diplomatic. Matthew, dude, you'll get fined for that shit. We're on the payroll. We've been accused, but we're not.
Yeah, so Matthew being the diplomatic one, and then just being dirty. This is new territory for the Young Bucks. Like, and it's good. It's working. It's really working.
Yeah, and what their new finishers with the Tony Khan driver?
The Meltzer driver.
Right, but now they're calling it the Tony Khan driver, which is again just leaning into all the shit that people have talked about them, and I love it as well. And so I like that too. The Storm and Perazzo stuff is fucking great. The way they really like leaned into the black and white color stuff is fantastic. The way that Tony Storm submitted her opponent with Perazzo's move.
Right.
Classic wrestling. Classic. Yeah. Just so good.
I mean, it's good. Like, and that match is going to be good because both of them are just really good in the ring. I like Tony Storm, timeless Tony Storm. She's good. I didn't think she could pull something off like this, but it's great. So, I mean, bravo to them. And then we have Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston for his, what is it called? The Continental Classic belt or whatever it is. Those three belts he has. So, I mean, because Danielson's been giving Kingston a lot of heat. There's the thing also, too, like, are Blackpool Combat Club, are they heels, are they faces? They're like straight up tweeners, aren't they? Because like they're heelish sometimes, and then
I feel like we need the new shirt, like BCC Super Babyface Antiheroes.
Well, they were never super babyfaces, but
The crowd treats them like it is. The crowd they all go crazy when Wild Thing fucking hits. They think goddamn Rick Vaughn is coming out of the outfield.
It's crazy because they do like the most heelish shit, and the crowd cheers them. It's like. So I don't know. The AEW crowd, I don't know. Sometimes
it's changing wrestling in a way, and you know, it's like because they're so smarky about fucking everything.
Exactly.
Like the NXT crowd was just insufferable in a ways because they're like, but I get it because it's like it's their little product.
Yeah, and it's like it's kind of like
traveling. It's there every single week, and
it's like a community.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So like I understand the NXT crowd, even though I don't like them. And, like, I guess the BCC thing is, like, you can akin that to the Bullet Club back in the day. But, like, you know, the Bullet Club did heal a shit, but, like, the crowd still loved them. But I don't know, because it's, like, I like the BCC, but then, like, they do heal a shit. I was, like, I'm trying to be a fan and not cheer it, but I'm just, like, I'm just going to watch it. So
I know. I guess the problem also, to me, the Bullet Club, it's, like, I love Moxley, whatever. I don't put him on the same level as like fucking PKJ Styles.
No, absolutely not.
So the Bullet Club had a little bit more star power.
That's true.
You know, and Moxley is like, I love him, and we've talked about it. Go look the archives. I love how Moxley's always stepped up for the company. Ever since he came over, he cut that interview with Persona Non Grata. We can't talk about it anymore. He's basically gone now. He has a list. You may know who he is or not, but whatever. And he's been all AEW. He is like, in a way, he's the face of AEW as far as these like wrestlers who's come in because he's just all in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Malakai Black is like waiting for his contract to end so he go back to WWE.
He's jumping ship.
Yeah, like Andrade, like same thing. Like yeah, they wanted Matthews. The money and they wanted the ship, but like they're not like Moxley's invested.
No, Moxley's there. He's a guy there. He's a top guy there, so he's not leaving. But guys like Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews, like those guys are gone. And it's a shame that they're gone because those guys are really good. And, you know, Malakai Black came in with all this hype, and then I don't even know the last time when he wrestled a singles match was.
I think he just wrestled one, maybe this week, but it's tough to say. But yeah, overall, we're working toward Revolution. We have some high points, some low points. I'm interested to see it. We'll see how the card develops, see whether it's worth our dollar bills, y'all. But before we move on, I do want to give a shout out to some former WWE talent who has recently racked up some belts. Sorry, Vince, we call them fucking belts again. Nick Nemeth and Riddle both snagging some hardware in a NJPW, that's New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I love. What I love even more was Mustafa Ali coming up as the X Division champ in Impact.
Yeah, that's huge. So like Nick Nemeth got the it's called the Global Heavyweight Championship, and then Matt Riddle snagged the Television Championship. Right out of the gate, these guys are already collecting straps. So I think that's great.
I do too. Since we've been recording this podcast, I feel if we go back to early episodes, I've liked Mustafa Ali. I think he's got a ton of potential and I hope he finds success. I would love to see him, you know, there's a program for him at the top of the card in Impact 100%.
Oh, easily, easily.
You know, and as much as I love him, I love Dolph Ziggler. He was strapped for a reason. And if it wasn't for the concussion, his whole career could be 100% different. Yeah, but
I liked him.
God bless
liked
the guy. Him. And I'm so glad he didn't sign with AEW.
No. And then plus two, Matt Riddle. You know, as long as that guy can keep his head straight, the guy can go. I mean, you could just show because I've caught all these matches and they were fantastic, every single one of them. And Matt Riddle could have gone a lot farther than he did in WWE if he could have got out of his own way. So I just hope, I wish the best for these guys. It looks like they're doing great. And I hope to hear more from them because like this is just making the wrestling business better.
It is indeed. It's like they're following in our footsteps.
We are an influential podcast.
And we do make the wrestling business better.
Absolutely. And on that note, we are going to take a quick powder and come back to you with some harder hitting cool shit. Segment, my favorite segment, Roddy's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do we like to call it?
Cool shit.
And cool shit always starts out with
the motherfucking mailbag special delivery.
We got a good one too, so let's hit it.
I know these are long ass questions, so people have read the notes. Let's go. Big Perm asks, I thought EC was a decent PLE, being that the outcomes were mostly predictable. My favorite match was the women's EC, and I thought Tiff Time Stratton was great. I felt she should have been in the chamber a little longer. My question is, since Tiff Stratton seems to be gaining more and more momentum in her short time on the main roster, do you guys think she'll be on the card for WrestleMania? I sure hope so.
I mean, we still have some time because it's what, April 6th or 7th? April 6 and 7 is WrestleMania. So from now till then, there's time to put her in a program. And I think she should be on the card. Absolutely.
There's two nights of wrestling. If they right. cannot find a spot for Tiffany Stratton, then that is a that is an affront to justice.
I mean, just listen
because
to
you
the
cannot
crowd.
Tell Come me on. How many better female wrestlers are there. Also, WrestleMania serves as a launching point for young talent. She doesn't have to. We're not saying Tiffany Stratton should be in the main event.
No,
but she should be definitely in a match on that card on one of those nights, and it will only serve to both help her and the company.
Absolutely, because she's got like star written all over her. Future world champion. You heard it first over here.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine she'll beat Charlotte Flair the same night that Bron Breakker beats Roman Reigns.
That would be a fantastic night.
It would be definitely be the changing of the guard. All right. So sorry, Big Perm. Like sometimes we have a lot more to say about questions, but that one's pretty easy. Absolutely. Yeah. We agree with you. Let's go, Tiffany Stratton, WrestleMania. Let's go. All right. Our favorite luchador wrestler, Andrea El Idolo, asks, or I'm sorry, El Idolo. I don't want to presume, but I get it. Wink, wink. I enjoyed EC for the most part. I thought the women's EC was great up until the end. I don't think it helped anyone to have the man win the EC. She already has all the accolades, and I felt this match could have elevated someone, i.e. Liv Morgan, or Tiffany Stratton. If they're going to have Bex win, then I think she should have let Nia Jax win the title, because Nia and Bex have history, broken nose, if you guys don't remember. Yeah. Being that Nia actually beat her, I know you guys liked a fantasy book, so I just wanted to know what you thought of that scenario. So first off, we don't fantasy book. We call it fantasy booking, but really what we do is like science.
Yeah.
We put out things we believe should happen or could happen, hypothesis, and we try to see how it will work in the real world.
And how many times has it happened? It has come
it's happened so often.
It's happened it often. So often. But for to address this, though, there's no way in hell that they were going to have Nia Jax win the title off Rhea Ripley in Australia. No fucking way. There's just no way. Like
the lady who just came back to the company after she got released.
Right. No. And Nia Jax shouldn't be sniffing any kind of titles anyway. But back to I can see where you're going, though, Idolo.
The logic.
The logic is there. It's there. Right. Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, boom. And then they could have Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, boom. Like, totally makes sense. Not if it was anywhere else in Australia, I'd be on board for it. But you can't do that. And Rhea Ripley's title reign still has legs for it. Because so, like, it just wouldn't work out. But I like where your head's at. You're a thinker. And I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be more interested if you would ask a question like, do you think Nia Jax will cost Becky Lynch the title at WrestleMania? Right. Things like that. Like,
that's a good one. Now we're cooking with gas.
Right. And those are things that I could see, because it seems like there is some belief in Nia Jax. They've definitely put it in the ear of the mainstream wrestling press that she's getting much better. We didn't necessarily see it, but it seems to be this, I would say almost like it was in a press release, but a common thread amongst a lot of recaps I've watched or read. Nia Jax is so much better. She's putting in so much work since she got back to the company. It's like, yeah, that's what people say when, you know, their stars are not really that great. Right. So I think Nia probably could deserve, based if the way that the reaction she got and the way people feel, she may be on the WrestleMania card. I think possibly there's shenanigans if you want to try to write that. If you want to try to book a Bex versus Nia Jax match at SummerSlam, Nia Jax could interfere in some way to cost Becky Lynch the match, which would even be what I would do is have her try to interfere to interfere on behalf of Becky Lynch and it to go wrong. And that's how Rhea Ripley retains. And then Now Rhea Ripley moves on to Tiffany Stratton or whoever it may or may not be. So I think there's legs there, but I think you went too far over with the Nia stuff.
No. Yeah. It was a nice attempt.
Yes, it was. You're a thinker. And so definitely feel free to write in Anybody who wants to write in can write in. They can get at my man Xander at where?
Instagram, Xander Hobbs, XANDER_HOBBES. Same thing on the Threads machine.
Word. And you can get at me at the same place as Wrestleocalypse, spelled like it sounds. Last question. I threw curveball getting out of there quick, but spring training just started and the Dodgers look amazing because they have all the money and all the talent. So anyways, last question from Dine, my darling. I'm stoked that you guys put a track off the new Alkaline Trio album on your playlist. Thanks, Bobby. I've been listening to them since God damn it. And went to all their shows when they played their albums front to back. My favorite album is From Here to Infirmary, but this new one has been creeping up the list for me. I want to know what your guys' favorite album songs by them were.
It's funny that this question came up because a good buddy of mine probably doesn't listen to this, but shout out to Sean. He's a big fan of Alkaline Trio. We've been trying to put together a top 10 list of all our favorite songs, and it was really hard to do. I don't think I've ever had this much of a hard time putting a list together, but I won't do the whole list, but I'll just give you my favorite albums and then my top five songs. So favorite albums.
Who's doing get rid of one?
You are. I did it last time. I put it on the thing. That was you. I did it last time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do get rid of Alkaline Trio songs. So maybe keep it five to yourself.
Perfect. All right. So favorite album was Crimson and Good Morning. And then top five songs, Emma, Bloodied Up, All on Black, Prevent This Tragedy, and Private Eye. So those songs are great. There's other ones too, but those are the core ones that I like.
Yeah, my favorite album is Agony and Irony.
Yeah, a lot of deep cuts on that album.
Yeah, I just, that fucking first song is Calling All Skeletons is so goddamn good.
That's a good song. I like
that. We may talk about it later, so let's not get too crazy.
Okay.
Agony and Irony is very, very good. Like I said, I also like Remains.
That's a good one. Maybe I'll Catch Fire is good.
Yeah, and From Here to Infirmary I think it's probably when I saw him for the first time. I think so.
Yeah.
And then probably my last one that I have to say is like, I fucking love this new album.
The new one is
There has been talks amongst people that this is their best and it's getting poo-pooed, but I think it's my favorite at this point. So Well, there will be some songs we'll talk about on the Get Rid of One, but that's awesome that you love this band so much. You did all that and followed them. And I definitely don't feel like you should feel like a bad fan if you're liking this new album. What I say is this new album is kind of like the best version of what they do really well.
No, I agree. But what I think about that too is, it's got elements of like Good Morning, elements of like Crimson. And then, you know, it ties it in with like the new sound, like not a new sound, but like, you know, like Bobby put, like what they normally do.
I think it's polished is what I would say.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They know how they want to write a song and what they want to execute. And you could tell this is like, this isn't the like, this isn't, I'm trying to find an analogy, but it's like, this isn't the fucking Cowboys. This is like a team that could win a championship.
Exactly. There you go. Perfect. Perfect analogy.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I love when people bring music questions into the mailbag. It can't all be about wrestling.
It can't just all be wrestling. This is right. The bullshit segment.
But the next segment is Match of the Week, which is all about wrestling. So
we have one more piece of wrestling business to get through.
Yeah. Right. Oh man, it's so funny that you sent this one. So this match is from 2015, which is not that long ago.
Not that long ago, but still a good amount of time compared to how you see this wrestler today. you know.
Yes. Jeff Hardy versus James Storm.
Yep.
Inside the Six Sides of Steel, which is, that's pretty much gone now, right? Like the TNA Six Sides of Steel.
Yeah,
because
they're
like,
back to four sides, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just doing traditional, like
they're doing the traditional ring. Yeah. So I brought this up because I had another match in mind, but it wasn't that good. And this one is a little bit better. It's not the best match, but I was pressed on time, so I couldn't really like dig too deep into the archives. But I've never seen this match, and I've watched a lot of TNA, and I like both of these guys. I like James Storm and I like Jeff Hardy. And it's just, so as Bobby said, like a lot of time, it's not a lot of time passed, but in wrestling years, if you compare 2015 Jeff Hardy to 2024 Jeff Hardy, a lot of time has passed. And Jeff Hardy, you know, was a step slower in 2015, but not where he was here. He was still pulling off his moves fairly quick. James Storm was there, who's a consummate pro, who, like, you know, had the start of the match. I thought it was good because I hadn't seen these two guys wrestle before, and I thought it would just be something to, like, you know, present to the crowd right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is crazy in Jeff Hardy's life to be 7 years ago. Or no, yes, seven. No, I'm sorry, 9 years ago.
Nine, yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool match. I like the Six Sides of Steel. It's a good take on a steel cage match. I had no idea who James Storm was. So this
you
my
didn't know
first...
who James Storm was? Okay.
No, this was my first, and I have it. I'm like watching the end of it right now. He's really good. It's like some of the greatest questions I have, and we could go into this probably. We do a whole season of this, just like the wrestlers who should have made it but didn't. Like,
yeah, James Storm is one of them.
Yeah, and it's like there's a lot of reasons why, right? Like, it's a tough industry, people's families, lives. There's millions of different reasons that you see somebody who's so good in a match or for an extended period of time, but they don't get the run. And then obviously, you know, we're learning more and more about the, you know, if you believe success of a wrestler meant them being on WWE and now knowing just how fucked up leadership was.
Well, yeah, because what happened was, the funny thing is too, James Storm actually got a WWE shot. He was on NXT at the towards the beginning of them bringing in all the indie guys. Like, he came on for like, he was like a paid per appearance. And I believe the reason why they wanted to make him an offer, but I guess they lowballed him. And so he took it back and went back to TNA. And that's when he reformed Beer Money with Bobby Roode. And then he just never got, he just started doing all this other indie stuff. He started working in NWA. And I guess that was what was working for him. But like, damn, dude, if WWE would have known what they had in James Storm, because the guy can work the mic, he's good in the ring, he's got a look, and like, he checks all the boxes, like we like to say. So that was like, he was the one that got away. I'm not saying he would have changed the business or anything, but he would have been a good asset to WWE if they would have like gave him a better deal.
No, and that's the difference between WWE in 2024 and WWE in that time, because it's like, there's not a lot of differences between the skills that Tony Storm had and the skills that LA Knight has.
I mean, James Storm is better in the ring than LA Knight.
And LA Knight's maybe a little bit better on the ring with what he does. But the reality is, like, they both could, like, when I see the success of LA Knight and then I go and watch this match and I do a little bit of research on James Storm, I recognize the fact that, like, maybe it's opportunity, not necessarily talent. Right?
Yeah.
And what I love, and one of the reasons why I think WWE has had so much legs, obviously we've talked about a lot about Triple H's influence, but just like being more open-minded to understanding diversity in your roster means more fans are going to pop throughout the night.
Absolutely.
Because not everybody's going to love everybody. And if they don't love them, even better, they're going to boo them. And that's even better than cheers. If somebody boos, they care more than cheers, right?
Yeah.
And I think that over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've seen that development in WWE, where They're not trying to manipulate the crowd. They're just trying to maximize their reactions. You want to boo Dom? Well, fine. We're gonna give you five times a show to boo Dom.
No, yeah, no, exactly.
You know, oh, you guys want to chant the like wrestle forever or whatever? We're gonna give you those matches too. We're gonna lean into what you like because overall it creates a better product. Not saying that we're not gonna swerve and send you home mad once in a while, but I feel like that's a big change. And I feel like, you know, a lot of wrestlers who got overlooked would probably have better opportunities in this era, which is fantastic.
No, I agree with you 100%.
So I have not been watching too much new television. I think we ran a bunch of Ted Lasso hot. Right now, as we speak, they're just getting started on the next episode of Tournament of Champions, which we already covered in the last episode. So we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus on that. So is there anything cool that you're watching or anything? I did see one cool thing. We watched a documentary on, I watched two of them. One was all about like Walt Disney and his office, and they kind of like, it was all on Disney Channel and it's all like Disney fluff. We're big Disney fans. And the second one was the building of their latest, or it's not their latest, but their cruise ship Wish. And that was crazy to see how a boat that big is built. And I was talking to Betty Rebel, I was like, how do they build an aircraft carrier? Like, where do they build? Like, how do you just like, and what they do for these Disney ships is they basically like build everything in sections. They call them pods. And then they stack them like Legos and slowly they build the whole ship. And then they put it out to sea and everything inside gets finished. It was pretty crazy. So really like that. But other than that, I haven't been watching too much new stuff. Ted Lasso, ghosty shows, Expedition Unknown, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I don't know what I've been watching. Do you know what we've been watching? No.
You watch wrestling.
I've been watching wrestling.
Well, and I know, because it's amazing.
That's it, honestly. There's no sports right now. I mean,
what do you think? Okay, is our MLB, is she back from spring training? Or MLB?
She's sitting right here on the couch.
What do you think about the see-through pants? I mean, it's spring training. That I just spent $1 billion, and all anybody can talk about is the fact that they're wearing see-through pants.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're getting you caught up in the game.
It's, I don't know, like, I'm kind of like, not disappointed. But yeah, disappointed where baseball's going too.
What, why? Because the Dodgers are going to beat everybody?
No. No.
No.
No. I don't know. I just feel like there's no more like game involved anymore. It's just like who can hit fucking bombs and fucking who can fucking just like strike people out. There's like no like strategy. There's no like small ball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Like, you know, like it's everyone's just like for themselves and like not more like for the team. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Like if I need to like say you were on first and I need to like bunt you over, you know, to get to second, like I would like in like you know, play games like strategy like that. Like now it's like I don't feel like players do that anymore for each other, or like coaches don't coach that way anymore.
No, I would agree with that. I think there's like there's a lot of problems that the money ball, like having a bunch of investment bankers look at baseball and dictate.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big. Isn't that the big like complaint about the Dodgers?
Yes.
And why every Dodger fan wants Dave Roberts to be fired every game, because it's like he's not really the manager. He's just making these decisions based on
whatever
the math guy is.
Who knows what he's basing his decisions on?
I know. And it's crazy. I saw this thing on Instagram. They just showed like they're like the first 20 at bats of Yasiel Puig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, like, there's nobody having fun like that anymore. He turned out to be kind of a creep and everything, so don't get it twisted. But like when he showed up, it was such like this crazy, like, oh my God, this guy loves to play baseball. He's hitting bombs. He's throwing like he thinks he's Vladimir Guerrero and doing all this crazy stuff. And it's like, we need more of that. But, and it's also weird too, because like with the rule changes, with the pitch clock and everything, yeah. I think that's like changing the dynamic. So could you right now, do you have predictions on who's going to make the World Series?
No, not a clue.
So you're not willing to go out there with the Dodgers Yankees?
No.
81 rematch?
No. Mm-mm.
Is there one player you're the most excited to see this season?
No.
Great correspondent.
It's early. Let's be honest.
No, not yet.
Soto hit a bomb today.
Oh, solo? One solo?
Yeah, you wish. I saw that too. I was like, no, it's Soto. Yeah, so, and then.
I'm just going to head to a game in New York when they play Oakland, which is cool because Oakland's my like West Coast team. So I'll go there. It's a Monday day game, end of April. I'll be doing that.
All right. Our MLB correspondent on the case.
Not really?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're getting
not yet.
Great. It's not yet. Training. Not yet. I get it. You're playing a lot of golf during the day. You just show up a little bit. So I put this together super fast based on what is on my liked songs, which unfortunately there's so I have so many Alkaline Trio songs on my liked songs, but what I've come up with, I'm gonna type these up. So Calling All Skeletons is my favorite song from Alkaline Trio. And then I'm going to bring up, I want to make sure I get these right. So just bear with me. We will edit this to be faster. My other song that I really, really like is called Radio off an album called.
So maybe I'll catch
maybe fire. Maybe I'll catch fire from the year 2000, which honestly that year the world pretty much was catching fire. The other one I'm picking is, and this is a weird one because it's not actually an Alkaline Trio song. It is a cover. And I think it's the best cover on this particular album, but it's called Straight From The Jacket. It's a cover of a Tony Sly song by Alkaline Trio. And this album, they are on with legendary punk artists like NOFX, Bad Religion, Strung Out. And I would put this song, their performance of the song, up against any of them. It is my absolute favorite on this album. So Straight From The Jacket. And because I love, love, love this new album so, so much, I'm going to put one. And I thought a lot about what my favorite song on this new album is. And it's easy to think that I really like the title song, Hot for Preacher. Because I think it's one, it's callback Hot for Teacher, which I love. And also it's like, it gives the album a lot of balls. We featured Scars. I featured Scars like as, on our epic playlist, but off of this album, my favorite song is Break.
Oh, that's my second favorite song.
Ooh, well, it's probably just right there, right? So these are getting rid of one. We're just getting rid of the one. Of all of these, if you only had three songs, if you only had money for three songs in a jukebox, which one of these would you have to get rid of? Not saying that you don't like it, just you only have so much money, like you only had 75 cents or something. So what is the one song that you wouldn't include if you only had a three song set?
That I wouldn't include?
Yeah. If Alkaline Trio was like, hey, we're coming to your town. We're going to play three songs. And here's the four songs you could choose from. What are the three songs you want to hear them play?
I'm getting rid of, this is going to be controversial, but I'm getting rid of Straight from the Jacket because that's a cover.
I know you would. I knew you would. But
and I don't. I'm not as big on Tony Sly as all you guys are. So at that, I'm not really like that impressed. I'm not demeaning his musicianship. It's just not my thing. So like, I don't get hard-ons for him like you guys do. But all these other songs though are classics. So like, I couldn't like get rid of any of those. So even though Straight from the Jacket is a good song, it's good. It's a cover. And I just think the other three are better.
No, I agree with that. And that was in the back of my mind. I saw that as being like a possible one. If I replaced that with Private Eye.
Oh, shit.
Now what would you get rid of?
Then I'm going to get rid of Calling All Skeletons.
Oh. I'm glad I changed that up. It was like that. So, like I said, we do get rid of one. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I really like, everyone should check out Straight from the Jacket. It's a good song.
They didn't write it.
Yeah. So if we go back, you have three songs you can pick. Four songs are Calling All Skeletons, Radio, Private A, and Break. I am getting rid of Radio.
Radio's just fun to sing live. That's like
It's just fun to sing when you're watching your dog poop.
Yeah.
Which we all do, right? Because the way they look at you, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dog shitting razor blades.
Or if you have our dog who likes to walk and poop. Yeah, so you follow the trail. He's a poop walker.
Dude, we've got a poop walker.
Oh, you have one too. Okay.
With the crazy rains, Minnie she will not go out. Like, you'll take her outside and she'll just sit there and look at you and shiver. And then she'll run inside. But she's a walking pooper.
Yeah, dude. And it sucks at night because I can't see. So like I have to keep my eye on what he's doing, because if I look away for 1 second, that shit's gone. Like I can't find it in the dark. And yeah, dude. So that's what we do. So good to get rid of one. I like how you included Private Eye at the last minute, because.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it sucks. Like we never want to make it easy for each other. Right.
No, it shouldn't.
It feels like I made it a little too easy.
Well, because when you put that on there, I was just like, dude, I mean,
it's so good though.
It's a good song, but like I said, if it goes up against those three, it being a cover, it has to go.
Yes, I agree with that. So we brought it in. I came in with a heavy hitter, and we got a nice little get rid of one. Like we said, TOC is in progress as we record. We have nothing really new.
Yeah, we talked about the last episode last week, right?
Yeah, exactly, because we recorded on the Monday, El Dia de Presidente.
That's right. But yeah, I'm going to be excited to cover this new episode right here. And then this is going to be a segue into our walkout music. I just wanted to throw a quick shout out to one of my buddies on Instagram. His name is Gavin, and he works the Metalocalypse Sunrise group chat that we have. And it's all these metalheads from like North Carolina. He's from Louisiana. A couple are from Philly. I'm from California. Another person's from NorCal. And we just talk metal. And he put the group together. He does album of the week. He does battle of like the songs. He does. Oh, what? You're giving me the breaks.
Can we get him to give us some get rid of ones? Some metal. Let's get some metal get rid of ones from this guy, and we can like, I'm just hearing about this and I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I'll hit him up. Like we talk to each other, like we talk in the group almost every day. And right now he's got a episode of the podcast listened to on the way home. It's let me see what episode it is. It's episode 118, Full Gear Survivor. So he's deep into the archives.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I just thought like I would give him a shout out, because he's supporting us, and then we're going to support him likewise. This is how this whole fucking thing works. And I just want to say thank you, Gavin, for listening to this, and thank you all for listening to this. We're going to get into some walkout music.
Mine's not metal.
His might not be, but mine is.
Oh, good. Obviously. Let's get in. Let's get it started with some hard shit, brother. Let's go.
All right. So I was going through some stuff. I mean, because I had some time today to go through it, and I wanted to really like make this like cool. And so I went into the archives. This band that I'm presenting to you guys is really cool. They're a melodic death metal band. Their name, they're called Arsis. And the album came out on April 15th, 2008. It's called We Are the Nightmare. And it's the album is called, or the song is called Overthrown. So you can check it out right now. Yeah, if you like anything like that, I suggest you check out that song. And then the whole rest of the album is really good. The title track kicks ass. And then all their albums are pretty much good. We Are the Nightmare, United Abominations. So if you're into fucking heavy death metal, this is the band for you.
But if you're not, I've got something for you because I'm choosing something that's not metal at all. It is by a band called Avec Plaisir. And it is off their 2024 album, or a 2024 album called The Ultimate Emo Album. And this song is called Untitled O2. And, you know, math rock, math emo, I bring all that shit. We got to have soft edges to this podcast. It can't all be, just can't all be fucking Swedish death metal and whatever nonsense Xander.
Arsis is from Massachusetts.
Oh, please. Listen. If you're not from California, Massachusetts, might as well fucking be Sweden. Let's be real.
I guess.
Fucking fuck the Celtics. But anyways, you can listen to this awesome emo, great emo song right now. I mean, it's very technical. Like, I feel like they could easily play some metal riffs. Like, they can play the guitar.
I tried to click on that link and it didn't work for me. It kept saying, Spotify kept saying it couldn't find the song. So I was like in the dark. But just to correct myself, Arsis is from Virginia Beach, Virginia. So they're probably good friends with Lamb of God. So the Lamb of God's from Richmond. I don't know how far apart those cities are, but.
I know. From what I understand, Virginia is like one millionth the size of the great state of California. So they probably.
It's probably pretty close then, right?
Yeah. I mean, the New England, they're all like super small, right? Like.
That's true. That's very true.
They were colonies, not states.
They're colonies, yeah.
But that is awesome. We continue to build this amazing playlist. This one is in honor of one of my favorite albums growing up, Jock Jams. This is the Wrestleocalypse Jams 2024, Year of the Black Mamba, which if you don't know, it's 2024, the Year of the Black Mamba. So you can check all of these songs out on the Spotify. We have a link in the show notes, or if you look up Wrestlocalypse, you'll get the podcast and the playlist. Can you believe that?
Podcast and the playlist. And this is all not going to cost you a goddamn thing. So like it, subscribe to it, give us a 5-star review on it, and tell people about it. Because
yeah, and then come and fucking hit us up on the Threads machine or the IG or whatever it may or may not be.
We like interaction, whether it's good or bad. We have WWE Universe member that tries to come in and bury us all the time. So come on and try your best. Give us your fantasy booking like El Idolo did. We'll take any and everything, but not political questions. So keep those out for something else.
Yes, indeed.
But since we can't top that,
we can't.
Yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And always reminding you to show empathy, protect the environment, defend animals, and support the Wrestlocalypse.
Booyakasha.